It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome in. A busy, busy show ahead. A few things hanging in the balance right now as girls' regional wrestling is winding down across the state. We've been bringing you reports from a couple of different sites at Luther College in Decorah and at the Iowa Events Center in Des Moines, where metro and area wrestlers have been competing today. So waiting on what should be our last pair of updates from those two sites. And, of course, if they come through from our great reporters in the field on behalf of Koloff Media during this hour, I'll be sure to pass them along to you. But so far, a lot of success for metro and area girls wrestling at regionals today. A lot of gals will be at the state tournament coming up in, what is that? That'd be next Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, when that starts at Extreme Arena in Coralville. So pretty exciting stuff so far today. And I think we got a lot of exciting stuff lined up here today on the show. I am your host, Colbert. Welcome in. As I said, happy Friday. It's January 27th of 2023, and however you are tuned in, I appreciate it. Whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColeBear, and like the Facebook page, type in 1650TheFan. You'll find us. And hit that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. Also, make sure you bookmark that website because you can get all sorts of local and statewide sports content there, the podcast of this show. You can listen to the Waterloo Blackhawks weekend preview on demand. So bookmark it, 1650thefan.com. And dial me up if you want to add to the show today with any questions or comments. Save the number in your phone, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or you could email the show. Email address is cole@1650thefan.com. Of course, we'll get it going here in just a few short moments with area sports news and scores, which includes tonight's Metro Boys and Girls Basketball matchups. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Friday, looking into tomorrow and Sunday. And if you perhaps heard the weather at the very end of the hour there, we've got some snow coming our way. So make sure you're aware of that. Make sure that if you do have travel plans and you're going to be out there, drive safe, safe travels, as some weather looks to be heading our way here very shortly. So be listening for Megan Mulford's forecast here in about 10-15 minutes' time. After we come back from that first break, you and I, wrestling coach Doug Schwab, will join the show. Very fired up to be talking with Coach Schwab not too long from now, as the Panther train has a pair of big-time Big 12 duels coming up this weekend, and it begins Saturday night at McLeod Center, when the 10th-ranked Oklahoma State Cowboys come to Cedar Falls, and Coach Schwab and his team, they're going to have to turn around on Sunday and take on the Oklahoma Sooners at 2 o'clock in McLeod Center. So a couple of very, very big dual meets this weekend, a pair of meets that, by all means, if you have not gotten out to a UNI wrestling match yet this season, I mean, what better time than to go watch them take on the 10th-ranked Cowboys tomorrow night at McLeod Center. From what I'm hearing, that already sounds like it's going to be a good crowd. Tickets are still available, so go support Doug Schwab's Panther Train, the UNI Panther wrestling team. You got a couple of great duels that you could attend this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. After we're done talking UNI wrestling with Doug Schwab, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that break. Come back on the other side, and as we usually do on a Friday, Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast will join the show. We're going to break down the AFC and NFC championship games, make some picks on those games, and see where things lie. Well, I'm very interested to see whether or not we're going to have the same picks for these pair of games. Obviously, you've got the San Francisco 49ers and the red-hot Brock Purdy under center. Of course, the former Iowa State quarterback taking on the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC championship game. And you can hear those games right here on The Fan on Sunday. Pregame coverage begins at 1 with kickoff shortly after 2 o'clock of the Niners and the Eagles. I think the Niners are really going to have their work cut out for them, and obviously that's not breaking news, but for as much as I haven't wanted to, I've almost like just, I don't know how I would say it. I've not gotten wrapped up in the Eagles. I've tried to stay objective about them, but man, they're good. They are good. And I just get the impression that for as good as the Niners have been, and boy, have they, that the Eagles are going to give them a hard time. I really think so. Brock Purdy certainly going to be put to the test. Can he answer once again? Can he pass the test? We'll find out. And like I mentioned, you'll be able to hear it right here on The Fan. After that NFC Championship game, of course, the AFC Championship, you'll hear it also right here on The Fan on Sunday. That one kicks off around 5:30, where you've got Patrick Mahomes and his injured ankle taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, the Chiefs and the Bengals, Mahomes, Burrow. A lot of bleep talk going on from these two teams ahead of this game. Joe Burrow 3-0 all time in his short career against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They're calling it not Arrowhead Stadium, Bengals players. They're calling it Burrowhead Stadium. That's a good way to light a fire, as if it needed to be lit at this point. So we'll break it all down with Logan Blackman coming up in the third segment of today's show. Just real quick, you know what? They should have it in the VSiN update, so I'll let the professionals handle it on what the lines look like right now, because there's been all sorts of movement, especially on that Bengals-Chiefs spread. All sorts of movement because of Patrick Mahomes' injured ankle and the fact that, I mean, who really knows, you know, what that thing feels like, besides maybe a handful of people inside the Chiefs building and Patrick Mahomes himself. And honestly, I feel like that's a shame that that's a part of this game, but that just comes with the territory, right? It would be nice to see this game have its two quarterbacks, which these dudes are, you know, for as much talk as there's been about, you know, a Justin Herbert and a Josh Allen, and those guys are really, really good. Joe Burrow has been the guy winning the big games in his short career so far in comparison to those other two that I mentioned. And there are others as well. I mean, Jalen Hurts can take a big step forward with where he stands, because everybody always gets so wrapped up in the quarterback hierarchy, the top 10, top 15 quarterbacks, top 5 in the league. This is, to me, you know, this is when you really find out about a guy. So we'll see. And it really impressive what Burrow's been able to do is the Bengals' offensive line just incredibly banged up. All sorts of injuries. What is it, two? Is it only two starters left from where they began the season with that O-line? So really bit impressed. And it's and for me as a Bears fan, you know, I'm rooting for Brock Purdy. I would say I'm rooting for the Niners because of Brock Purdy. But in that Bengals-Chiefs game, I just want to see a good game. Yeah, I'm that guy. And I know we got a lot of Chiefs fans out there, but I just want to see a good show. And I sure hope we get one. It looks like we ought to with Burrow and Mahomes facing off. So looking forward to listening to those games Sunday right here on The Fan. All right, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Friday tonight in Metro basketball and girl-boy doubleheaders. Cedar Falls plays at Ames. You can hear those games over on our companion station tonight, Cruising KCFI. Pre-game coverage with Dave Finnegan begins around 5:45. And another girl-boy doubleheader in the Metro, Waterloo East plays host to Fort Dodge, and Waterloo Columbus hosts Denver. Also, Waterloo West, the boys, the Wahawk boys, travel to Linmar, while the third-ranked Waterloo West girls play host to the Lions. That's that big rematch that we talked about with Dr. Tony Pappas, Waterloo West head coach, on Wednesday's show. The only loss this season for the Wahawks came at Linmar when the Lions hit a school record 14 threes in that game. And as Dr. Pappas made abundantly clear on Wednesday's show, his team is ready for tonight's rematch. And as I mentioned, but a quick reminder, we're waiting on our last pair of updates from the Decorah and Des Moines regionals, where Metro and area girls wrestling teams are competing for a chance at the state tournament today. So once we get those, whether it's sometime now in the 5 o'clock hour or before Blackhawks hockey begins at 6:45, we'll make sure to pass those along to you. Michigan State hit big shots down the stretch, hanging on to beat Iowa 63-61 in a men's college basketball game last night in East Lansing. The Hawkeyes' Peyton Sanford missed a pair of three-point attempts in the final seconds with Iowa down two. Aaron Ulis led the Hawks with 17 points. Philip Rabracha had 16 and 11 rebounds. Chris Murray added 11 points but did not put up a shot. In the final 6 minutes of that game, Iowa now 12-8 this season and 4-5 in the Big Ten. Missouri State roared back in the fourth quarter to beat the UNI women's basketball team 71-67 last night in Springfield. UNI built a 14-point lead in the third quarter and led by 9 going into the fourth. In the final quarter, the Panthers committed 8 of their 16 fouls and went scoreless in the final 3.5 minutes. Maya McDermott led the Panthers with 17. The loss snapped UNI's 4-game winning streak. The Iowa State men's basketball team will step out of Big 12 play tomorrow, traveling to Missouri to take on the Tigers in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. The Cyclones are coming off a home win over 5th-ranked Kansas State on Tuesday. Iowa State enters this game 15-4 on the season, while Missouri is 15-5. Pre-game coverage begins at noon tomorrow here on The Fan. Tip-off is at 1. The red-hot UNI men's basketball team visits Indiana State tomorrow. The Panthers have won 4 straight in 9 of their last 11. UNI is 8-3 in the Missouri Valley Conference, just a game out of first place. Indiana State, meanwhile, struggling. Tough part of their schedule. We talked about it with ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman yesterday on the show. Sycamores have lost 5 straight. Game time tomorrow is at noon. The third-ranked Wartburg wrestling team defeated number 1 Augsburg 22-14 in the annual Battle of the Burgs last night in Waverly. The Knights won 6 of 10 matches, including 4 by major decisions. Wartburg is now 12-1 in duels this season. The two top teams in the country and the Big Ten meet tonight as second-ranked Iowa travels to Happy Valley for a duel against top-ranked Penn State. This evening's duel features 19-ranked wrestlers. Depending on various rankings, there could be 4 top 10 matchups. It's Iowa's first trip to Penn State since the 2017-18 season. Tonight's duel starts at 7:30. And finally, as I mentioned just a bit before, the Waterloo Blackhawks at Young Arena tonight, hosting the Lincoln Stars. Waterloo 2-0 against Lincoln this season. It's been a good month for the Blackhawks. They're 6-1 in January. Pregame coverage begins at 6:45. Opening faceoff at 7:05. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN action update, and a forecast all coming your way on the other side. UNI wrestling coach Doug Schwab joins. That's next on this Friday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, there are 3 games left in the NFL season. The Bengals and Chiefs meet again in the AFC title game at Arrowhead Stadium. Cincinnati spoiled the plans for the neutral site game this weekend And after having won there last year, head coach Zach Taylor doesn't have many concerns about playing in one of the NFL's toughest environments.
Go out there against a good team and put our best foot forward and let everybody else make of it what they want to make it. Yeah, we understand that there's an AFC championship on the line, but our guys generally don't feel the pressure because of that.
Patrick Mahomes, as expected, is starting, but Cincinnati will have to find a way without Jonah Williams and Alex Kappa, the two missing their second straight game due to knee and ankle injuries. Christian McCaffrey has missed a couple of days of practices with a sore calf, but said there's zero chance that he misses Sunday's NFC title game between the 49ers and Eagles in Philadelphia. The Rams have reportedly named former Jets offensive coordinator Mike LaFleur to the same position. The Mets and Jeff McNeil reportedly avoid arbitration and come to terms on a four-year $50 million extension. Brian Snitker gets an extension from the Braves through 2025, and Austin Matthews will miss the next 3 weeks with a sprained knee. I'm Rich Eckert.
Conference Championship Weekend is here. It's a football Friday, so time to pick some winners on the Zach Gelb Show later, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
Listen to Waterloo Blackhawks hockey tonight on The Fan. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:45.
Bilcola Ford has the pre-owned vehicles you can trust.
Our gold-certified vehicles pass a 172-point inspection, and they include great warranties and 24-hour roadside assistance.
Choose peace of mind with our gold-certified inventory at BillCaldwellFord.com. Clearly, a better place.
Visit the Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center located at Bill Caldwell Ford in Hudson. Quick Lane provides essential maintenance such as oil changes, tires, brakes, batteries, and more. So, whatever you drive, take care of it at the Cedar Valley Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center.
Cedar Falls Schools reminds you that registration for the 2023-24 preschool program opens on Friday, January 27th at noon. Go to cfschools.org, click on the Parents tab, and select Preschool. The Cedar Falls Schools preschool program runs from 8:45 to 1:50 every school day and is funded by the statewide voluntary preschool grant and Head Start. Children who will be age 4 by September 15th and live within the district boundaries are eligible to participate in the program. Tuition is free. Space is limited and the district follows a first-come, first-served policy. Contact the administration office with questions. Cedar Falls Schools embraces change as it represents the world our students enter as they continue along life's journey. We should all be proud of the Cedar Falls Community School District students, administrators, teachers, and staff.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
Championship Sunday, 2 days away. The NFC title game Sunday afternoon in Philadelphia. The Eagles favored by 2.5 points over the 49ers with the over-under at 46.5. The AFC championship line has moved again back in favor of the Chiefs. Now once again a one-point home favorite over the Bengals Sunday night, 48 the total. College basketball, Iowa came up 2 points short on the road at Michigan State, 63-61, beating the 2.5-point spread by a half a point. The total of 124 points, 22 less than the over-under of 146. Heading into the game. Hawkeyes will play next on Sunday at home against Rutgers. Iowa State at Missouri tomorrow, part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
The Iowa Girls Super Regional Wrestling Tournament continues at the Iowa Event Center in downtown Des Moines. Four weights in through the final round. And for Cedar Falls, pretty successful finals thus far, 100 pounds. Natalie Blake of Cedar Falls, winner by fall in 2 minutes 34 seconds over Elizabeth Elliott of Newton. Natalie Blake is the regional champion at 100 pounds, advancing to the state meet at Coralville. At 105 pounds, Lauren Witt of Cedar Falls, a winner by a 5-1 decision over Ava Gannon of Dallas Center Grimes. Witt, regional champion, advances to the state meet at Coralville. At 110, Jasmine Ludke of Ottumwa, one by fall over Hope Chiatello of Cedar Falls in 3 minutes and 6 seconds. Hope Chiatello finishes second at the Super Regional and advances to the state meet at Coralville. And at 115, Elise Engelbretson of Ankeny, one by fall over Jasmine Olson of Cedar Falls in 1 minute and 21 seconds. Jasmine Olson advances as a second place finisher at the Super Regional to the state meet at Coralville next week. Again, thanks to our sponsors, Tubbs R Us, Berkshire Hathaway One Realty, Bill Caldwell Ford, Bo Jorgensen, Farm Bureau, Waterloo Community Schools, Wartburg College, Channel Seeds, Ettringer Automotive. From Des Moines for 1650 Fans, Steve Kappas reporting.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. A winter weather advisory begins at midnight tonight and continues until 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Overcast skies tonight with a chance for snow. Lows around 11, winds out of the northwest 8 to 15 miles an hour. Snow likely tomorrow, high of 18. Chance of snow tomorrow night, 1 below. 4 to 8 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow night. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 22.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Friday edition of the show continues. As we say in the business, I am efforting one UNI wrestling coach, Doug Schwab, hoping to be joined momentarily by the Panthers head coach. They've got a pair of duels coming up this weekend against formidable opponents, and it gets going tomorrow night at 7 o'clock when the 10th-ranked Oklahoma State Cowboys come to McLeod Center, and then they turn around on Sunday for a matinee at 2 o'clock against the Oklahoma Sooners. In the meantime, we do have some wrestling to talk about. Got some audio from that big win for third-ranked Wartburg last night in that Battle of the Bergs, 22-14. They got the best of Augsburg last night. As I told you there in that previous segment, the Knights won 6 of 10 matches, including 4 by major decision. Knights now 12-1 in duels this season. Here is Wartburg head coach Eric Keller telling our Mark Simpson, hey, what'd you learn about your team in this big duel?
We expected it to be a war. You knew it was going to be a war. It's always a war. And it was tonight. And, you know, they went out and fought. And, you know, not obviously every match went how we wanted it to go. But our fight was there. Our fight was there. Our effort was there. And I'm talking about, guys, every single guy fought, which is that's success to us. The rest of the wrestling stuff we can fix, but that's what I found. That's what we learned tonight.
And coach, could this win be a springboard for your team for the rest of the season?
100%. You know, I mean, I told them, enjoy this. This is awesome. I want you to enjoy these little things along the way because you have to. But my mind's already on. We got all the things that we saw tonight. You know, but enjoy it now. But yes, it's back to work.
It sounded like it was a great environment last night at Levick Arena. Here's Coach Keller on it.
Awesome. Love it, man. There is no atmosphere like this. This is awesome. Loved it.
Just a little bit of energy from Coach Keller after that big win last night. Here's fifth-ranked 197-pounder Mo Indeen talking about what was he thinking prior to a big match last night.
I know. Honestly, I talked to myself and, you know, analyzed that no one's working harder than me at 197, and I'm doing all the right things day in and day out, and I just know when it's time to come compete, no one's going to outwork me, or I'm just going to bring it to him every time.
What statement did the Knights make, Mo, with that win last night?
That we're the best team in the nation. Regardless of what happened in national duels, we set our mind all week since it happened. Since we lost 6-3, that's not what we are. We're not third place. We're number one.
And here's Mo saying how it feels like it's a bit different Wartburg team than it was just a few weeks ago.
Coaches talk to us. We talk to each other as wrestlers, and we know what we're capable of, and we just need to, every time we step foot on the line, leave it out there.
Meanwhile, tonight, the two top wrestling teams in the country collide when Iowa visits Penn State. The gap between these two does appear to perhaps be substantial. The top-ranked Nittany Lions are 10-0, and their closest duel was a 22-12 win over Iowa State. The second-ranked Hawkeyes are 12-0, but three of their duels have been decided by 6 points or less as injuries have forced Coach Tom Brands to constantly juggle his lineup.
You talk about characteristics. They know the ranking. They know what's at stake. The environment is an opportunity. It's a fun environment. That's what you want. We have a great environment here. They have a great environment there. Whether we're here or there, it's going to be a great environment. And you know what? Competitors thrive in those situations.
And Coach Brand says the Hawkeyes do not mind the role of underdog.
The other thing is how much do you like crave a challenge? And then when that challenge is put in front of you, how much do you crave success? Like, are you going to will it to go your way? And these are opportunities to do that.
With Big Ten championships about 5 weeks away, Coach Brands is aware they're in the stretch run right now.
We got to keep progress going, and we got to get better. And, you know, we're at the end of January, and we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Biggest thing is consistency, getting better, health, those things.
And real quick here, let's hear a clip from T.J. Otzelberger as the Iowa State Cyclones. I told you in that last segment, they take on Missouri tomorrow in that SEC Big 12 Challenge. Here is Coach Otz.
There's people in our league that make decisions in the best interest of our league, that make scheduling decisions, and it's not something that I have any say in, so I focus on the things I can control. What I can control is to prepare our team to have the best opportunity to win the game on Saturday.
Pre-game coverage of that Iowa State-Missouri men's basketball game begins at noon tomorrow here on The Fan. Tip-off at 1. But, hey, we've located him. We've got you and I wrestling coach Doug Schwab joining us now. Coach Schwab, thanks so much for your time today on the show. Your team's got a couple big duels coming up this weekend, and you're a little over 2 months into your season. So just tell us first, Coach, as you look back on your team's body of work so far, what do you like about your Panthers?
I've been pretty dang consistent, you know. I feel like we're gaining momentum. You know, one meet a little flat overall as a group, but overall, man, we have competed very well. You know, and I think you always think to the level of your training, and man, our training has been very good. Guys are really upping the standards in the game, and you know that's what you have to do if you want to continue to climb the ladder, and you know you want to continue to beat teams like we have coming in this weekend. You want to beat them consistently, and then you want to overtake them, and you know you have to do that.
And those teams coming in, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, the Cowboys ranked 10th. The Sooners receiving votes, a couple of, you know, formidable opponents. And it makes me think, Coach Schwab, for as much as, you know, we hear you and anybody else talk about physical preparation for a dual meet, what about just the overall physical and mental preparation for a weekend like this one? Oklahoma State on Saturday night at 7, Oklahoma on Sunday at 2. I have to imagine the mental side of this may even be of more importance to be right there than things physically.
Yeah, I mean, they work together. You know, I mean, you're always going to push boundaries, you know, physically to help, you know, some of your mental gains. But, you know, being able to control and manage your emotions and not to get too up. I mean, I look at this as, you know, so the second round of the national tournament is, you know, it might be 7 at night, you know, and then the quarterfinal is the next morning. Like, yeah. You have to get used to being able to have these kind of turnarounds, and, you know, maybe you have a big, you know, emotional win, and it doesn't matter. You have to be able to do it again, because one time isn't enough, especially if you really plan on winning a national title. You're going to have to be able to do that, and like I said, just being incredibly consistent in our performances and our preparation. But that's what I talked to the team about. I said, you guys want to win a national title, right? Okay, well, this is two pieces. This is, you know, even the Big Ten, you know, the Big 12 tournament, you know, you have to be able to do things back to back. You have to be able to do things a day to the next day. And, you know, if you win a match or you lose a match, like, we have to be a pro and come back and respond in the right way. So, you know, that to me more of the mental prep than, hey, we're prepping for, even though it's not, you know, it's two duels, you're still prepping for the national tournament. And this is a great opportunity to put yourself in that frame of mind.
I find that so compelling, how you can, you know, draw that parallel between how this weekend lays out and how the national tournament lays out. And it makes me think, you know, if you want to really recreate that environment, I know you're hoping for a great crowd in McLeod Center both Saturday night and on Sunday. I mean, that's another really important part of this, too, you know, for your wrestlers. You know, there's an advantage to be had there, and there's also something they can take from that if you get a good environment, like you were just talking about there as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, you feed off that energy, you know, and hopefully you compete in a way that gets people excited, right? And then they do make a difference, you know. If it's, You know, I always say if we're going to an opposing arena, I want that thing to be as quiet as possible because that means we're kicking their tail. You know, and so we want to we obviously don't want to have that happen on our end, but yeah, you've been around sports and understand enough. I mean, you talk about home field, home mat advantage, mm-hmm. and the only way that it happens is if you show up. You know, and the people show up, and I've said it, and I'll continue to say it, that this team, they've earned it. We don't feel like we deserve anything. We earn things, but how these guys are competing, prepared, and what we're putting on the mat, the product we're putting on the mat, that is something that deserves to have the stands packed.
No doubt about it. A couple of your wrestlers, you've had a number of guys that have put together really good seasons so far, but I think about Kyle Biscaglia, Parker Kekeisen. Just real quick, Coach, in the time that we have left, tell us a little bit about what you've seen from those two, because when you talk about national title aspirations, I know that Bisco and Parker are a pair of guys that's what they work for every day in the room.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's something that you live. It's not something you just talk about. It's something you live, and you see it in their actions. You see in how everything that they do is directed to give themselves the best opportunity to make that happen. And that means, you know what, do I have to sacrifice some things? Yeah, but it's a willing sacrifice, and it's actually, you know what, I give this up, and I'm good with it. You know, and that means that, you know, some of the comforts that, you know, maybe a regular student has, they don't have those, but, you know, the regular student also doesn't get this opportunity. And yep. They realize that, but just how both those guys train and live, and the example they are for the team. you couldn't pick probably two better guys, but the thing that excites me the most is I could go up and down the lineup though. You know, you see, you talk about those two guys, but then I can talk about Budo and Yant and my running, and I could go up and down the lineup and be like, you know what, this guy's doing those same things. Mm-hmm. But you know, you definitely get some guys that set the precedent, and you know, Parker definitely does that. How he trains and lives, you know, he's been third the last 2 years, but he's prepared and ready to make that next step, and he's doing everything he can, you know, to make that happen. And you know, Bisco the same. He had a great tournament out in Las Vegas, you know, and then Parker got beat in the finals, but then he got to wrestle Hidley again, and that's what great competitors do. They respond the next time and beat him. And, you know, he's been on a run. He's been scoring a lot of points, been pinning guys. But, man, just the example that those guys set, mm-hmm. And not in action, not in talk, it's in action. And that's what matters.
You and I wrestling coach Doug Schwab, our guest here for just a couple more minutes. Coach Schwab, we'll get you out of here with this one. We talk a lot, you know, whether it's with Coach Jacobson or Coach Warren, about just how well they know their opponents. They know one another when they get into the into conference battles. How about a conference battle like this one? Albeit you haven't been in the Big 12 for too long, but you know these matches have been going on even before you were conference foes. How much does you know knowing the opponent, and that can change too, but just knowing the opponent, knowing the way the opponent coach teaches his guys. What can you say with regard to how much familiarity matters in these duels?
I mean, there's some stylistic things, you know, that teams have. You know, we try to be very individual, you know, that each guy kind of wrestles to their style. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have some things that, you know, from a team aspect and then individually, you know, I still think that, you know, you're aware of what a guy does, but you're not paralyzed by it because then you're reacting to them the whole time. You know, I believe all of our guys have things that are world-class. They're some of the best and they just got to continue to work to get to those positions. If those positions don't open up, then we have to find another layer to be able to open that up. But, you know, we know our opponents well. We've had, you know, 33, you know, Bisco Fix has been in the finals 3 years in a row. He's a great competitor. He's one of the best guys in the country. You know, they've got to feel each other a couple times. 41, they've got to feel each other a couple times. Mm-hmm. You know, so to me, it's okay, if we're getting beat, can we close the gap? And how do we not just close the gap, how do we make a gap on our end? And if we beat the guy, how do we open up that more? And that's, you know, we have a lot of new matchups. I think that's, you know, 33, 41 are the only two. 57 moved up 65. We'll wrestle the same match, 74. 74 would be another matchup that they've had before. You know, really, I think we have you know, three matchups that would be ones that have happened before. You know, the rest are going to be the first time, but you're aware of what a guy does, but I still think it comes down to what you do well, and you know what, good luck stopping it.
Well, Coach, some top shelf wrestling set to happen this weekend at McLeod Center, Saturday night at 7 against the 10th ranked Oklahoma State Cowboys, and then turn it around on Sunday at 2 against Oklahoma. And the, you know, the Hawkeyes, they're out east against Penn State, so nobody's got any excuse not to get to McLeod Center this weekend, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're from the state of Iowa.
Yep.
You know, so a little snow, come on, big deal. A little snow should not stop that. And you know what? I've said that there's not a lot of things that, you know, I think we agree on, especially maybe wrestling coaches or, you know, if you cheered for other team, but I think we can all get behind that none of us like Oklahoma or Oklahoma State.
Yep. Agree completely. Yep. I'm on your side.
Yep.
Coach, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Best of luck this weekend.
Yep. No, thanks, man. Appreciate having me on.
All right. Doug Schwab, UNI wrestling coach, kind enough to join us on this Friday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up. On the other side, we break down the AFC and NFC Championship games. Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast joins us next right here on Cole & Company.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. The top two wrestling teams in the country collide tonight when Iowa visits Penn State. The gap between these two appears substantial. The top-ranked Nittany Lions are 10-0. Their closest duel was a 22-12 victory over Iowa State. The second-ranked Hawkeyes are 12-0, but three of their duels have been decided by 6 points or less, as injuries have forced Tom Brands to constantly juggle his lineup. The Hawkeyes enter as substantial underdogs.
The other thing is how much do you like crave a challenge? And then when that challenge is put in front of you, how much do you crave success? Like, are you going to will it to go your way? And these are opportunities to do that.
College basketball tomorrow. The 12th-ranked Iowa State Cyclones visit Missouri. It's part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. ISU is 15-4. UNI has won 6 of its last 7. The Panthers are on the road tomorrow in Missouri Valley Play to take on Indiana State. This is Radio Iowa.
Mom and Dad used to argue about everything, especially about Dad's drinking. My family went from totally crazy to quiet, calm, and even peaceful when Mom started going to Al-Anon family groups. I wanted a better relationship with Dad, so I asked Mom if she would take me to her Al-Anon meetings or to Alateen. I'm sure glad I did. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Alateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
At the Family YMCA of Blackhawk County, sports and activities are going on year-round. Basketball, volleyball, pickleball, and swimming lessons start soon. Take a class from one of our 40-plus fitness offerings and start your new year off right. Pump some iron, walk on the track, or swim laps in the pool. Have a great time with all your friends at the Family YMCA of Blackhawk County, located at 669 South Hackett Road in Waterloo. The YMCA, strengthening the foundations of our community.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert on your home for Cubs baseball, 1650 The Fan and 102.3 FM.
Yeah, welcome back. Friday edition of the show continues. It's officially a football Friday now as we welcome in Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast. The AFC and NFC Championship games set to take place this Sunday. You'll hear it right here on The Fan, that doubleheader. Pregame coverage beginning at 1 on Sunday, kickoff at 2 of the NFC Championship game featuring the Eagles and 49ers in Philadelphia, followed by the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. Logan, how about we start with a wellness check? The fact that your Buffalo Bills got bounced in the divisional round last week. How you holding up, man?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right now. Like on Sunday, it was just more of a, wow, that's the last game I'm going to see this year. That's the game that happened. Like I would take that, though. My dad and I were talking about it during the game and after the game as the game progressed, because it just got worse and worse. And it was like, I'd rather lose like that. I've told my friends this. I'd rather lose like that than lose the way they did to the Chiefs last year in the playoffs. Like, that one was so much more easy to digest, because I was like, there wasn't a point where I actually thought, oh, the Bills are going to win this game. There wasn't 13 seconds that got ripped away from me, and then overtime took place, and then the Bills didn't have anything. So I'd rather lose like that, but it's still upsetting. There's got to be some changes in regards to, like, not like Sean McDermott leaving, but I think when you look at the last three playoff appearances, the last three playoff losses for the Bills, all have just become defensive malfunctions, essentially.
Well,
so I think there's about time they, like, start. I'm not saying, like, completely move on, but they need to start looking at the idea of getting a new D coordinator in there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to question that. You know more about the Bills than I could ever dream of. I will offer this. In talking to a friend of mine who watches the NFL closely, in watching that game and watching, remembering back to, I remember the Bills being on prime time very early in the year, maybe week one, and then watching them again like week three or week four, they throttled somebody again. And the thing that stood out to me, and you know me, I watch all sorts of football, college and NFL, was that by the end of the season, it seemed like Josh Allen just wasn't getting the ball out very quickly. And I, part of me can understand that because of the ability he has with his legs, which is, you know, maybe unmatched by anybody in the league right now in terms of how he pairs it with what he does with his arm. But I think that there's maybe a fine line to be walked there where you're almost kind of a victim of your spoils, talent-wise. And I just think back to the start of the year where, man, that offense was just so well-oiled. The ball was out quick. Josh wasn't throwing the interceptions yet. And like I mentioned, your critique of the defense, I think, is spot on. But then again, I just feel like maybe Josh kind of got into a bad habit or two as the season went on.
Yeah, no, he's definitely – I don't want to sound like I'm giving him a pass or anything, because he played bad as well. But the thing I'll say about Josh and this offense is that it's so heavily reliant on Josh Allen being a superhero or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these plays that they were drawing up were deep plays. And sometimes I think Josh gets in the habit of doing – he said this like his second or third year in the NFL. I don't remember exactly when it was, but he said, I don't want to be captain checkdown. So Ken Dorsey's drawn up all these deep plays like you see in Madden, but Josh can check it down, but he's so obsessed in his own mind that we got to do something. We got to score. We got to do this. And he just gets in his own way. And I think when he starts, like, and it's weird to say this, I don't think there's a lot of quarterbacks that work like this. I think this is how Josh Allen works the best. If he's playing like backyard football, where he doesn't need to sit back in the pocket, if he can just be himself, I think when he starts, like, double clutching the football, or if mm-hmm. he starts thinking about if he's in the pocket for too long, then he starts getting a little erratic with some of the throws. And that post bye week, like after the Kansas City Chiefs game, when they came out and threw three touchdowns, they won the game in Kansas City, they were looking like a well-oiled machine. And then that second half kicked off against the Packers.
Yep.
I was like, oh, the first half of the game, oh, they're dominant again. And then the second half came, Josh threw two terrible interceptions. That followed three straight games of two interceptions in each. So he threw six interceptions just a span of 3 weeks. And it's, I think a little bit has to do with his elbow injury, but I'm not going to put everything on that. I just think that they're so heavily reliant on him to make plays. So when it doesn't work out, or if he does do something like this, they're not capable of keeping up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it just seems like a little bit of recalibration with some things, and the Bills could by all means be a serious challenger again next season. Do you now, since we've been talking AFC, do you want the Bengals to go beat the Chiefs? How are you? What do you want to see happen in this game? And what do you think is going to happen when the Chiefs host the Bengals on Sunday?
So it doesn't bother me either way. I don't really encounter a lot of Bengals fans, so I guess I'd be a little less affected if the Bengals won this game. And then you can go like, oh, we lost the team that went to the Super Bowl or something like that. But it's just one of those things where I don't know. With how bad the Bills played, the Bengals are doing all this stuff of like trying to manufacture motivation, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And then the Chiefs came out today. One of their linebackers came out and said that he doesn't fear anything that the Chiefs do on or Bengals do on offense, which just adds more. They already make up stuff to try and motivate themselves. Now they're going to actually have stuff in an interview that this linebacker said about how about their offense doesn't do anything special. So they're going to come out motivated. Burrow's never lost since he's been a starter in college at LSU in January. So this is going to be a very interesting time. He's 9-0 in January in his career. So it's interesting. I think the Chiefs will come out on top. I don't know. My friend Brady gets all upset every time they play the Bengals. He's a big time Chiefs fan. That they just get in their own heads per se.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think the Chiefs will win, but it'll be. I'd rather see the Bengals win. I guess.
How about this? And I think there's a. And I think you're the right guy to ask this question as a former college quarterback. What do you think is a bigger liability in this game? Where things stand with the Bengals' offensive line or Patrick Mahomes' high ankle sprain?
I think Mahomes' ankle sprain, because the Bengals, the Bills' defensive line had little to no effect last week, but I don't think that'll be the same thing because Chris Jones is better than all the people the Bills have currently, and same with Frank Clark as well. But Mahomes' ankle sprain is really interesting because, as you saw, like at the end of the game, or once he came back in the second half last week against Jacksonville, he needs to be able to move. His mechanics and how he works, he's a very mobile quarterback. He's not like a Lamar or a Josh where he's going to break out like big 20-yard gains or 30-yard gains every time. But his ability to move around the pocket is pretty second to none in this league. His pocket awareness is insane. And you could see some of the throws. He didn't look comfortable on his dropbacks and even some of the handoffs he did when they go under center and he had to reverse out and stuff like that. It's interesting. I'm sure he's going to be all jacked up on painkillers. He's going to have no feeling in that ankle whatsoever. They're going to have tape inside his sock, outside his sock, and on top of his shoe. So he probably won't feel anything in his ankle, but it'll be interesting to see how that thing holds up this week. So that's not an easy injury that you can just bounce back a week from, but he'll do it, and we'll see how it does.
Yeah, it's going to be something to watch. I said at the top of the show that, in a perfect world, you'd get both of these quarterbacks completely healthy in this game, but you know that's the way it is. That's the way the NFL goes. The Eagles, man. I mean, the Giants were the Giants. You know, I mean, respect to them in saying that, but I mean, they really showed what they're made of. Not that they necessarily needed to do it again, but they're kind of slow finish to the regular season with the Jalen Hurts injury. They really put a statement in that game that hey, like we're still for real. Like we are legit. The Niners, obviously, I think perhaps still considered the hottest team in the NFL. Something's got to give here. Can Brock Purdy pass another test? Or do you feel like, man, these Eagles, they're just a little too much? Because that's what I'm thinking. I want Brock Purdy to win this game and go play for a Super Bowl. But it looks like the Eagles are just going to be a bit too much from what I see.
Yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic they've got going on this game. The Niners have the number one scoring defense and number one defense, and the Eagles have, I believe, the number one scoring offense, number one offense, or something like that. I saw it on Twitter a little bit ago, but I'm not 100% sure if that's exactly right. But, yeah, it's a whichever one gives way. I think the Eagles will be a very motivated team this game. I think Jalen Hurts is a very self-driven person. You could see that going back to his college days as well. He doesn't really need someone in his ear telling him how great he is. He believes in himself, and I think that's important. I think you get the same thing with Brock Purdy as well. But it's just a matter of if the occasion gets to Purdy, which so far this season he hasn't really let anything get to him. He's just gotten the ball to his playmakers. I mean, you got McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, like Trent Williams is your left tackle. Like he's got all the stuff to be successful. Just a matter of if he can stay within himself and not try to force anything. And if he does that, I think the Niners can come out on top here, but the Eagles, there's something. I don't know. It'll be difficult to cover both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. I know Fred Warner's awesome and they got good corners, but it's going to be an interesting battle. It'll be very interesting.
The other thing too, there's no, governor on Jalen Hurts run calls. I don't think in this game or if they make it to a Super Bowl, like you are putting everything on your play sheet and that's going to include all the best run calls for a guy who's arguably, we talked about Josh Allen, but Jalen Hurts maybe already could be the best running quarterback in the NFL, and that's got to play a big factor too. That's going to be the biggest stress test maybe the Niners defense has faced all season.
Oh, yeah, they haven't really faced, like, you look at the past few teams they've played the regular season, like Kyler Murray didn't play that last game against the Cardinals, then they played Jarrett Stidham, they had Taylor Heinicke, Geno Brady. Tua's not very much of a runner. Like, you look at all the teams they played, they have not really played a quote-unquote running quarterback. The last time they played a running quarterback, per se, like, I just said about Mahomes, that would be the last time they played a, like, guy who can break off some big carries if you let him loose. He's not going to go look for that, but he's someone that can do that. I think Hurts, with how they look for those run plays, and all these read option plays that they're running from the shotgun, We'll be interested to see how, like, Bosa, if he stays contained, which I'm pretty sure he will, but if he stays contained, Arik Armstead on the D-line as well, if they could stay contained, they cannot let him get outside. If they see that he's reading the D-end or reading the crashing D-tackle or something, they've got to know to stay in their spot, because if he pulls that, that's where the big runs come from, because you're trying to get everybody to try and reconnect after that. The linebacker's got to be aware of everything. It's just going to be It's going to be fun. And how you contain Jalen Hurts is not biting on those play fakes. If he's reading you, you stay perfectly still. And you might be able to beat him because he's a big dude. He's not a smaller guy, too. He's a pretty big guy. So, yeah, if the Eagles want to win this game, it'll be on the back of Hurts. And the Niners, they're going to have to stay and contain if they want to be able to slow him down.
On paper, it looks like two outstanding games that we've got coming up on Sunday. I'm going to take the Eagles -2.5. I know that line's going to continue to move. I checked it before the show. So I'll take Eagles -2.5, as much as I want to see Brock Purdy play for a Super Bowl. Picking with my head here. And then I'm going to take the Bengals. I don't know if there's really much to be had there, but instead of just taking them +1, I'd say Bengals on the money line. Those are my picks.
You know what? Just for fun, I'll do the opposite. I'll say the Niners and the Chiefs in this one.
Okay.
I think this is a two game. I don't think we're gonna see any blowouts like we did last week. Like Bills, Bengals, Eagles, Giants. Like I don't think we're seeing those this week. I think you got some very good games. I just really hope Purdy doesn't let the moment get to him. Yes.
Yeah.
Don't let the moment get to him. So hopefully he stays compact in that game.
All right, Logan, great stuff, man. Enjoy the games.
Yes, sir. You too.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The first coaching domino has fallen as the Panthers named Frank Reich their new head coach. The former Colts head man has some history in Carolina. As the Panthers quarterback in 1995, he threw the first touchdown pass in franchise history. That leaves four head coach jobs open in the NFL, but none will be filled by Dan Quinn. The Cowboys defensive coordinator announced he's staying in Dallas. Quinn was considered a top candidate for the Broncos and Cardinals jobs and had a second interview scheduled with the Colts. Former Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett landed a new gig Thursday. He was named the Jets' new offensive coordinator. And some Championship Sunday injury updates. Patrick Mahomes practiced in full for the second straight day despite a sprained ankle, and he's on track to play Sunday. On the flip side, Niners running back Christian McCaffrey missed his second straight practice with a calf injury. It says there is, quote, zero chance he'll miss Sunday's game. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
The new year is here. Time for a change. Start a recession-resistant new career in the high-demand IT field with My Computer Career. In just months, already in IT, build your cybersecurity skills and prep for thousands of open positions employers nationwide are desperate to fill. Attend classes live online or on campus, and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Make this your year. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. That's mycomputercareer.edu.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Carolina Panthers haven't had a winning season in 5 years. The team's biggest issue has remained the quarterbacking position. Over the last 2 years, the Panthers ranked dead last in total QBR, passing yards per game, and touchdown to interception ratio. But yesterday, the team made a step towards addressing those issues after hiring the former Colts head coach, Frank Reich. Reich had a rough final year in Indy, but the former QB has had his fair share of success with quarterbacks. Reich was the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia for Carson Wentz's breakout season in 2017. And although injury played a factor, Wentz was never able to replicate that season again. The former Bills quarterback had a similar effect in Indy. The coach was able to get three winning seasons out of a beat-up Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett, Carson Wentz, and a 39-year-old Phillip Rivers. And for a franchise that struggled as much as the Panthers have under center, Frank Reich's rich history of coaching QBs could be a great sign of things to come. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Four NFL teams, two conference championship games, and only one place. The one place to go. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 57, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code Patrick. You're good to go. New customers can bet $5 on the conference championship games and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook by using the code Patrick.
21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Void in Ohio and Ontario. Bonus issued is free bets. One boost per eligible game, deposit, parlay, and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert on 1650 The Fan and the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Friday. Fun week. If you missed any of it, podcasts always available at 1650thefan.com. Got to thank UNI wrestling coach Doug Schwab for joining today's show, as well as Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast, who we just heard from in the last segment. You've got Waterloo Blackhawks hockey coming up here in less than an hour's time on The Fan. Pre-game coverage of the Hawks playing host to the Lincoln Stars begins at 6:45. Meanwhile, over on our companion station, Cruising KCFI, coverage underway of a Cedar Falls Tigers girl-boy varsity doubleheader at Ames. We got all sorts of stuff to listen to tonight. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe during the weather. I'll be back on Monday at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.